The Small Business Administration has received more than 200 comments on a proposed change to just one subset of the size standards for small businesses. The change would apply to information technology companies known as value-added resellers, or VARs. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller is here to discuss that proposal and why some small companies are concerned. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so what is this change now? Didn't they just finish a whole round of size change standards?
Well, they did actually. This is part of that whole round. I mean, under the Small Business Jobs Act of 2010, the Congress told SBA, look at everything, all 1,100 different, you know, size standards. So this is one of the final ones that are coming through. And in this proposed rule, which, by the way, the comments closed on November 10th, it would eliminate the 150 employee size standard for IT value resellers under NAICS code 541519. I know we're all taking notes on that NAICS code. But at the same time, what SBA is saying is instead of the 150 employee size standard, let's apply the $27.5 million revenue-based size standard under the same NAICS code. Having an employee-based size standard, according to SBA, is inconsistent with the rest of that NAICS code, which is based on total revenue. Ken Dodds is SBA's director of the Office of Policy Planning and Liaison. He says the change is necessary for several reasons.
If we go ahead and eliminate the exception, these are supply contracts, and they'll be subject to all the other NAICS codes and size standards that apply to supply contracts, as well as the non-manufacturer rule, which has a size standard of 500 employees. So that's kind of the misconception out there. This exception is used for primarily supply contracts. And any other case, when you have a supply contract, you have a employee-based size standard, and you have the non-manufacturer size standard of 500 employees.
Now, Dodd says that most of the companies that would be affected by this change would still qualify under that 500-employee size standard under the non-manufacturer rule, which basically says if you do not manufacture a specific product, but you do add other services to it against the value-added reseller piece, that's how you are still considered small under those rules. Now, he says that there are confusion and concern over this proposal because of the exception. Dodd says SBA believes the proposed rule will help reduce or even eliminate the confusion over services versus supplies and where value-added resellers fit in.
We've heard from businesses that, on both sides, but certainly businesses that exceed the 150 employee size standard, that nevertheless can qualify for an IT procurement using the 500 employee size standard. So basically right now, as a contracting officer, if you're buying IT supplies mainly, you can use this exception with a 150 employee base size standard, or you can use the computer manufacturing NAICS code of 1,000 employees and use the 500 employee size standard. So that's part of additional confusion out there. The same procurement can be bought two different ways, and it basically can exclude some firms from competing depending on what the contracting officer selects.
In case anyone isn't familiar with what a value-added reseller is, there's actually a fairly big market in the government. I mean, you have companies like the Immix Group or Accelera Solutions or Red River Computer Corporation or what they call IT VARs. And what they do is they take a commercial product like a Dell laptop or a Cisco router and offer additional services such as installation, upgrades, training. Hence, they become a value-added reseller of that product. You know, again, this is dozens and dozens of large and small vendors providing these products to the agencies, and otherwise certain companies would not have access or would not have a channel to the federal market. They really do depend on these IT VARs. IT VARs are also big under, you know, several significant big contracts such as NASA SOUP 5 or multiple war contracts like Homeland Security's First Source 2 and the Air Force's NetSense 2.
I guess we should also point out that the classic VAR is someone that has a software package in a particular vertical slice, whether it's government or industry, and they put that software on hardware and then deliver the hardware bundled with the software, so it's kind of a turnkey solution. That's the classic VAR. And so why are some of these small companies and why are they so concerned about this proposed rule? Because $27.5 million seems like a pretty high ceiling to still be small under.
I think basically the people believe the SBA's methodology for determining the size standard is basically flawed. James Fontana is the managing member of a Dempsey Fontana law firm. He represents several IT value-added resellers.
There are many small businesses that do business with the federal government that believe that the SBA is just totally out of touch with the small business community. and totally out of touch in terms of the realities of the IT value-added reseller. Again, its business and operational model is much different from that of the service company. You have typically for each employee higher amounts of revenue because of the high cost of the IT equipment, much lower margins. And so it would take much more revenue to account for those employees. And the SBA doesn't seem to appreciate that distinction. We've looked at a representative sample of some major GWACs that have been awarded over the past couple of years. First Source 2 through DHS, NetSense 2 through the Air Force, and Soup 5 through NASA. And we found that at least 50% of the awardees, not the bidders, there's a larger group of bidders, would no longer be eligible under this NAICS code.
And of course, you're saying that when they say no longer be eligible as a small business, they would still be able to compete for work, just they'd be competing for work as a large business. Now, Fontana says this shows SBA's claim that the proposed change would not affect 99% of all IT VARs is incorrect. He says the other trickle-down effect that would happen, Tom, is that larger IT value-added resellers also would be impacted because they partner with smaller firms on the contracts, and that too would be significant in his eyes.
One of the problems is, in terms of SBA saying you could instead rely on that manufacturing NAICS code, is problematic because that alternative purchasing method does not justify eliminating a very well-established NAICS size exception. That's one of the problems with that alternative. And second, as the SBA has stated, both in 2002 and in 2003 rulemakings, and as recently as 2011, the SBA recognized that this particular NAICS code is unique for the VAR community, and its virtual elimination would create an undue burden for the small VARs by forcing them to compete in various manufacturing NAICS codes that are not designed for the supply sector of the federal IT industry, which is dominated by much larger companies.
Now, the concerns over SBA's proposed rule has attracted the attention of the House Small Business Committee. Chairman Sam Graves wrote a letter to SBA on November 10th expressing his dismay and asking actually SBA to withdraw the proposed rule and start over. Graves outlines in this 12-page letter different challenges he believes the rule faces, but specifically he says the rule fails to follow what they call the express language of the Regulatory Flexibility Act. He says SBA's methodology is questionable because recent examples suggest that the agency is prioritizing administrative ease over precision when developing the size standards. And Graves actually calls the proposed rule irrational because it doesn't follow the mandates of the Administrative Procedure Act. So he gets into a lot of the depth of what federal rules need to follow. And that's why we have the letter linked up to federalnewsradio.com so everyone can read it for themselves and really get into the details.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So to summarize, then the VARs want to be classified by number of employees as they are now. They want to stay an exception in terms of being classified by numbers of employees and not by revenue,
or at the very least have a higher revenue base.
Okay.
Because what you heard Mr. Fontana say is that the amount of revenue per employee is much higher than maybe under services or other supplies. I mean, if you're buying a pencil, it costs the pencil 5 cents per employee, and they sell it for 10 cents. So the revenue difference. But if you're buying a laptop that's $1,200 and then adding, $500 worth of software to it, and then you're selling it for $2,000, that margin is much smaller. So both the revenue and profits are smaller. And I think that's the concern, that they're using this $27.5 million revenue based size standard. Maybe it needs to be $50 million, maybe it needs to be $75 million. But if they move to a revenue base, it's got to take into account how VARs work. And Mr. Fontana and others believe that SBA is not doing that.
So I guess if you're selling pencils, then you have to deliver them sharpened in order to be a value-added reseller.
With that extra eraser on top, too.
All right. So how often does SBA even look at these size standards? And is this type of pushback typical?
I think that, you know, to answer your first question, they look at these size standards quite often. In fact, as we talked about earlier, they're looking at all 1,100 size standards as part of the Small Business Jobs Act. So they're going through this process. Now, as far as the pushback, it's hard to say if it's typical. I did talk to Guy Timberlake. He's the American Small Business Coalition's chief visionary officer and CEO. He says the size standard change is similar to others SBA has proposed over the years, which leaves some people guessing and frustrated, while others, they're playing in a totally new field.
What I've seen is a lot of companies who play in that space are very concerned about this as being detrimental to small business. And I guess what I'm trying to look at from the other perspective is how many of the companies that take advantage of the exception actually exceed $27.5 million. And if it's most of the companies or half of the companies, then I guess my perspective is what I see happening, unless the government is going to fundamentally change the way it does business under that NAICS code, that business would now start going to smaller companies who actually fit under the $27.5 million size standard. So in this day and age of all the other size standards increasing exponentially from, you know, 7 million to 14 million, things of that nature, this would be the reverse in that respect.
Now, Timberlake says concerns about SBA size standards methodology has been in question for some time, specifically about whether it helps or actually harms small businesses. He says when SBA raises the size standard, small companies now face more competition. And when they change it like they are proposing with IT VARs, Timberlake says small firms are now become large, but new entrants are able to enter the market just as well. And that's both a good thing and a bad thing. Now, Fontana says he's talked with SBA informally about his clients' concerns, and he says, listen, SBA just continues to justify the need for the change because of the way the IT VAR industry, you know, has changed and requires an update. But he goes, but Fontana says that's part of the problem. SBA's data is inaccurate, it's old, and they really do need to get better data to truly understand the state of the IT VAR market. Now, SBA's Dodd says the comments period is closed November 10th, and SBA is now going to go through the review and come up with a final rule. He wouldn't put a timetable on it because, as we know, these final rules can take long periods of time, and it's hard to say it's going to take 3 months or 6 months or longer because it still must go through the interagency process. And now with additional kind of, if you will, pressure from the Congress starting to be applied and maybe others who will get involved, this could even extend the time period and may force SBA to relook at their process altogether. Now, Fontana says more than of the 200 or so comments SBA has received, the vast majority, Fontana says maybe as much as 95% are opposing the proposed rule. So I still think there's a lot to be decided when it comes to this proposal, and obviously we'll keep an eye on it.
All right. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thank you for walking us through that.
My pleasure.